Good morning. It's time for another conversation. This is High Desert Dialogue, conversations with Regina and Roxanne, here on Talk 960. We're keeping it local with High Desert issues, events, and interesting people. You can hear us Saturdays at 9 a.m. and Sundays at 8 a.m. on Talk 960 and talk960.com. Let's start talking.
Well, good morning, Roxanne.
Good morning, Regina. How are you and our listeners doing?
I'm great. You know, it's spring, my favorite time of year.
It is looking nice
right?
outside.
Yeah, and I know sometimes we don't know it. Look, in the morning, it looks a little cloudy, and then the sunshine breaks through, right?
It does. And what's great about it is that we have so many different events going on in the high desert. So
we'll try
and give a sneak peek. But if not, take a look at our station's community calendars and Facebook pages, too.
Yeah. And you know what, Roxanne? I'm excited about today's guest. I've gotten a chance to know him over the past year. I've known him prior to that because he's worked in the realm of nonprofit for quite some time. But I'm really excited to introduce to our audience Greg Bradbard, who's the CEO of the IEHP Foundation. And now, not to be confused with the plan, but the foundation. So, Greg, I want to say welcome to Conversations with Regina and Roxanne. We are excited to talk with you and to learn more about you and the relationship to the IEHP Foundation.
That sounds great. And hello to both of you. Really excited to be here.
Thank
great.
You.
So why don't we just dive in? Why don't you tell us a little bit about your background, which I really believe is extensive in the nonprofit world, and also tell us how you came to serve in the capacity of CEO with IEHP Foundation.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for the opportunity. And yeah, a little of my background, my story, you know, I felt very blessed to be able to serve communities, and I'd say really communities at risk for the last couple of decades. I studied psychology and social behavior, which found myself in an internship in a nonprofit organization that worked with low-income and homeless individuals, mm-hmm. and I didn't even understand what a nonprofit organization was at that time.
Wow.
But I quickly fell in love with it. And what I realized is that nonprofits play a really powerful role in our communities to impact and improve the lives of all kinds of individuals. And most of my work has been focused on children and families at risk. And so I had the opportunity to work in an organization that worked with homeless families. I ran an education foundation, got to work with kids in the foster care system for about 10 years.
Wow.
And that was incredible, providing mentors and advocates for kids in the foster care system. And then came back to the Inland Empire in 2010 and was able to run Inland Empire United Way. And at United Way, we were both a grant maker supporting other nonprofits.
But
we also ran a number of programs focused on college and career readiness. We had a big food distribution program and also ran 211 San Bernardino, so the 24/7 info line.
And I think that's actually where you and I met, was when you took that role.
I believe so. Yes, at United Way. And that was a great place. Loved to work there. And after that, I had the chance to work for Hope Through Housing Foundation and National Core, which is a large affordable housing developer and operator based here in the Inland Empire, but running affordable housing throughout Southern California, Florida, and Texas. And really powerful mission there. And so about a year ago, was offered this opportunity when I, came back together with you, Regina, on the board and so many other great board members here to help really lead the IEHP Foundation. And in these early stages, really it's helping to figure out what is the role of the foundation in our community and how can we make the greatest impact across this region over coming years and decades.
Yes. And so with that, tell us a little bit about the history or background, as well as maybe the mission and the purpose of the IEHP Foundation.
Yes. So IEHP, many of people know as Inland Empire Health Plan. So IEHP is the largest Medi-Cal health plan in the Inland Empire, insuring about 1 in 3 Inland Empire residents. So
yes.
IEHP insures 1.5 million people, which is literally a third of those in the region. And so the health plan's goal and objective is really to provide quality, direct healthcare services to its members. And about 3 years ago, the health plan under the leadership of Jared McNaughton had the foresight to launch a foundation. And they put some money into this foundation initially with the goal of improving conditions across the entire Inland Empire, all of San Bernardino and Riverside County, with the goal that everyone, regardless of insurance coverage, has the opportunity to experience what we call vibrant health. And that's full physical health, mental health, and overall well-being.
Yeah. And so, Greg, tell us a little bit about who does the foundation primarily serve and how. What do they actually do?
Great question. So our mission ultimately is really, like I said, to improve the health of all residents across the Inland Empire. How we do that, however, is really focused primarily on our community-based organizations. And so we partner very closely with our nonprofit organizations, knowing that our nonprofit organizations are on the front lines every day working with our most vulnerable residents across the Inland Empire. And so we have a belief in building the capacity and the strength of our nonprofits. We believe if they're stronger, then we know that individuals in our community will be healthier. And, you know, a lot of that's built on what we call the social drivers of health, which basically says, you know, the research tells us 60 to 80% of your health outcomes are not a result of what happens at a doctor's office or a hospital. It's really what takes place in our community. It's do people have a safe place to live? Do they have food on the table? Do they have a good job? Do they have transportation? And those actually have a greater impact on our health than even what happens when you walk into a doctor's office. So so first I'll give you, you know, high level. Over the last year and a half or so, we've actually, you know, partnered with, put funding into about 28 organizations in the high desert at the tune of about $690,000. And so putting some good, you know, some good dollars into those nonprofits. A couple that I'll name, one is CHAN, or Community Health Action Network, who you might know.
Yes, CJ Payne.
You do, good, great. Yeah, you know their services, whether that's emergency assistance or financial literacy or health and wellness programs. They're doing great work up there in the high desert. Another one, Moses House Ministries, which you know, Matthew runs that and does a terrific job and has been there for many years. And, you know, they're working hard with moms and children in the high desert. Those in need, whether that's parenting classes, case management. I know they distribute diapers and formula to new moms as well, but really needed services for those moms. And then another one, kind of different line, is A Greater Hope, who you may know.
Yes.
And Greater Hope, you know, who really focuses on foster youth. And I shared, you know, I spent some years working with foster youth in the past and just know the needs of those kids. The statistics tell us that kids coming out of the foster care system are more likely to end up in jail, on the streets, or dead in a very short period of time. And just leaning into those kids and make sure they have the services and really the love that they need is absolutely crucial. And that's, you know, the mission of A Greater Hope.
Yeah, and that's wonderful. And thank you for that, because I think that's a really good example of the outreach that has been done here in the high desert and the work that's being done, because, you know, we're one of the most under-resourced and underserved communities within San Bernardino County. So I'm really excited that we've been able to do that type of work. I want to ask you, because I think recently you took a cohort of organizations to Sacramento. Do I have that right?
That is absolutely right. Yeah, very exciting. So that was what we call our Champions for Vibrant Health Leadership Network. As a matter of fact, Moses House is one of those organizations that's part of that cohort. And this is an opportunity. We have 40 organizations that are part of this and 80 leaders. So each organization has both an executive and an emerging leader that are part of a two-year leadership development training program. But a big part of that is also make sure these organizations have the skills to lift their voices around issues that are important to the region and to those they serve. And so with that, we're really helping them develop their, we call it their public policy muscle, but it's really about advocating for policy change at whatever level necessary. And so part of that was we were able to take them all up to Sacramento about 2 weeks ago, took them into legislative visits to meet with our assembly and senators, in those offices, and they had really powerful conversations talking about issues that we know are really important to the region. And it was a powerful time seeing those leaders, many of whom have been in their positions for years and had never been to Sacramento, had never advocated before, to see their eyes just open to the power of advocacy, and seeing also just their confidence be built, and them seeing, hey,
absolutely,
I can do this.
Yeah, and Greg, so tell me that investment, because you said it was a 2-year program. Mm-hmm. So can you tell me a little bit about what that investment that IEHP Foundation is making into those 40 organizations, really helping them to hone their skills to be advocates, right? And exercise that public policy muscle, as you said. I really like that. But to really be strong components in their communities. Can you tell me what that investment looks like?
Absolutely. So, yeah, part of it is that public policy, but basically we're gathering that group 6 times a year on a local level. We have a policy coach who we brought in who actually led the Master's in Leadership program at USC, and we brought the best in here to the Inland Empire for those leaders to really
awesome.
Help develop their ability to lead effectively, to know who they are as leaders, and also, things like visionary leadership and servant leadership. What does that look like as they lead their organizations or if they lead a different organization in the future here in the region? So that's a big part of it. The other side of each of those of the program is each of those organizations also gets a grant for each of 2 years. And so the smaller organizations, those with a budget under $1 million, received a grant of $25,000 this year. Those with larger budgets got a grant of $65,000, and they'll get that again in year two. So it's a total for each of those organizations will get between $50,000 to $130,000 over those 2 years just into their mission. And that's really an investment in the organization
yes.
for them to use it for whatever they deem most appropriate to build the capacity and the ability of their organization to expand its impact.
I am really, really excited about that program, and I'm very proud to be a part of an organization that has truly been very conscious about making that type of investment because that speaks to sustainability, capacity building, succession planning, all of those things that are necessary for those nonprofit organizations that are often very small and don't often have the opportunity to get the benefit of that kind of education and training and exposure. So I'm excited about that program, and I hope as you near the end of that program, we'll get you back on to talk to us and kind of update us on how things are going, because I expect and anticipate there's going to be some wonderful testimonials and outcomes from that. Greg, how can, if our listeners want to learn more about IEHP Foundation, how can they do that? How can they reach out and get connected?
Absolutely. So the best way is through our website, and that's IEHPFoundation.org. And on our website, you can find all the information that I'm talking about. You can also find out about grants that we have coming up. The best thing to do, though, is on the website, you can sign up for our newsletter. We have a monthly newsletter where we push out all of our opportunities for funding and training. But we also push out other opportunities as well. So other funders or trainings that are happening that are beneficial to nonprofit leaders, we put in that newsletter. So, again, that's IEHPFoundation.org, and they can find all their information there.
Well, Greg, I want to thank you. I know you have a tremendously busy schedule, and so I want to thank you for being able to fit us in, to share this information. It's wonderful the work that's being done. We're excited about it. We definitely support it. We extend an invitation to you to come back whenever you have something you want
Thank
community
you.
To mm-hmm. be aware of, to come and share it. Use us as an outlet for that, particularly all things High Desert, right? But is there anything else that you want to leave us with before we close?
No, I just want to say thank you to the two of you mm-hmm. for the work you do and for helping to share good stories out there and the important work that's being done and needs across the High Desert as well. So just thank you for your partnership.
Well, thank you, and
thank
we'll
you.
Look forward to having you back.
Sounds good. All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Good morning, Regina. How's everybody doing?
Great. great. It's another beautiful weekend here in the high desert.
Yeah, we're getting ready to talk to some incredible guests this time.
I know. This is amazing. They are doing some amazing work. I'm excited. I'm really excited to introduce to our listeners Pastor Shay, who is the senior pastor, and Pastor Ian, who is the executive pastor for Life Church here in Victorville. And I want to say welcome
guys.
Hey,
thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having us. This is great. Yep.
And you know what? I don't want to waste time. There's a lot that I could ask you about. There's a lot of questions I have biblically that I could ask you about. But yeah, I'm not going to be self-serving today. Okay? I'm not going to do that. But you guys have a very special community event that's upcoming, and it is called High Desert, We Love You, which I believe is now in its third year.
That's correct.
Do I have that right?
Third year.
So tell us about High Desert, We Love You, how that came into being, and why you guys continue to do this.
Yeah. So I'm originally from Jamaica.
No, we couldn't tell.
You couldn't tell, right? And years ago, when I had started a church in Jamaica, we had this broadcast we brought into our business community, and it was from a John Maxwell broadcast. And he said, if you have a church, he said, if your church disappeared, would your community miss it? That really convicted me, because I felt like I wasn't sure that I was impacting our community in such a way that our community would miss us if our church shut down. And so starting that year, way back then, we decided to make this impact on our surrounding communities. Well, when I came to California, it was just something that was in my heart to do. And what I found in the high desert, that there were so many nonprofits who were already making an incredible difference in the whole region, that we decided, hey, instead of us trying to do something on our own, trying to come up with something, instead of trying to recreate the wheel, why not support those who are already hitting it out of the park, people who are already doing a great job, and just mobilizing our church to actually just support and serve and bless the people of the high desert through the vehicle of those who are already doing a great job. And so we wanted to do that. We wanted to do it not only to help the nonprofits, but also to give our church a heart for the community. One of the things that we've found a lot of times when it comes to churches is that sometimes church members will use church as an escape from their community rather than to engage with their community.
Yes.
And so we wanted to find a way in which we could have our church members actually engage and rub shoulders with and serve those who are the least of these in our community. And just like what Jesus said, you know, what you do to the least of these, you do to me. And so we wanted to find a practical way for our church members to actually serve our communities. And what better way than through nonprofits who are doing it every single day. And so we just love that we get to partner with them. It's amazing.
I am just blown away, and I'm going to tell you why. Because last year, I believe that you had approximately 120 volunteers.
Yes.
And that they provided over 440 hours of service. And that service resulted in you guys being able to fill two VVTA buses, right, that were with donations that included, and tell me if I have this number right, because I don't want to be lying in front of the pastors.
Oh, please.
22,000 pounds of clothing.
Wow.
Yes.
Right?
That was amazing.
You also supported up to 800 families.
Yes.
Right? And then additionally, now on top of all of that, you donated $15,000 to local nonprofits.
Yes.
I got to say.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, so absolutely.
So the goal for this year.
And what
do we need to know so we can help you get there?
And you're looking for nonprofits as well.
Yes, absolutely.
To help out.
What we're looking for are nonprofits that can partner with us. There's an amazing scripture. Because you're talking to preachers, you're going to hear scriptures constantly.
That's okay. We welcome it.
There's an amazing scripture in the Old Testament where people are trying to do this project, but they're doing it with the wrong motive, and they're trying to build this tower. And God comes and says, hey, you know, because the people are one, nothing shall be impossible to them. It's with the wrong motive, it's a bad thing. With the right motive, it's a powerful thing.
Yes.
And so we're looking at this idea of, okay, for the past 2 years, we've been doing it together as a church, just by ourselves. What if we open the doors so that we can have for-profit organizations partner with us? What can happen when we partner together, the church world and the business world, partner together to impact the community? The impact can be much greater, much larger. There are for-profit organizations that are donating maybe $10,000 to another organization, and they're doing a great job with the sponsorship of projects that organization is doing.
Right.
However, because of the model of High Desert, We Love You, where there's not just financial resource, there's manpower, there's community hours.
Yes.
Then that actually frees up those monies to do other things that the nonprofit can then allocate to people to get done. And it carries the weight of what is done much further than just say, hey, here's some money, do what you do. Now we have people coming to do something, to knock out a project. And it's just been incredible. It's been incredible. So this year, I'm believing that we can raise around $80,000 to just sow into those nonprofits.
Okay.
We can just sow into those nonprofits, because every dollar we receive goes, 100% of it goes directly to those nonprofits.
Directly to those nonprofits. And so if we've got listeners out there that want to engage, whether they want to be a volunteer, whether they have products or things that they feel they can donate that may be of help, how can they do that? How can they connect with Life Church in order to be a part of this?
Oh, it's easy. They can go to highdesertwelovyou.com, and there's a ton of information there.
Great.
There they can also register. If they're a nonprofit, they can sign up for help. If they're a for-profit business and would like to partner with us, they can also register there saying, hey, we'd love to help, and these are the ways we want to help, and we'd welcome them on board.
And just to clarify, it's hdweloveyou.com.
Okay.
Yes. It's hdweloveyou.com.
Okay, and let's brand it right.
Yeah,
hdweloveyou.com.
And one of the fascinating things that happened this past year was we weren't expecting people to partner with us necessarily. We were just kind of doing it as a church. But then the sheriff's department brought clothes.
Yes.
Some nurses from St. Mary's brought clothes.
Yes.
The Wells Fargo, was it?
Chase Bank
brought some clothes. And what they did as well was they promoted the fact that they were serving the community through High Desert, We Love You. So for them, it was a promotion also to just show how much they were also being engaged in the community.
Yes.
So this is a great opportunity for businesses, instead of trying to create your own thing, come join us.
Come join us. And I always do believe that we're much better, we're much stronger when we lock arms as community to do a thing. And I love the fact that you looked at what these nonprofits, because our nonprofits are amazing.
Absolutely.
I mean, to do what they do is really a testament to faith, to commitment, to service, and to being servant leaders, right?
Yep.
And so what they do is really amazing. And for you guys to see, instead of, it's not necessarily competing, but a lot of times we duplicate.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, yes.
And saying, so to avoid that, let's lock arms and come together and let us support you.
Yes.
In a way that you can better continue to do what it is you do. That, for me, is amazing. I know I did participate last year, and I'm planning on doing the same this year. I know you have a partner in VVTA, right? Mm-hmm. And I know that this year in particular, with a lot of the uncertainty that's going on in our communities and across our nation, that people are going to need more help. Let's just be honest about that,
for sure.
Right? Yeah. And so we'll be able to better support if we come together and connect to make sure that that help is there.
Yes.
And that's our heart, right? Our heart is to say, how can we get the people to partner to bless the High Desert? It's not necessarily about blessing the specific nonprofit. We're saying, you guys are doing a great job. Let's expand that for 1 week. We want to blow that up to a new level. What is it that you've been trying to do that you're not able to do? But if you had 10, 15, 20, 25 volunteers come in, you could really do it just for that
week.
And so we've done things like, we built a playground for a battered woman's home. So yes. We just went out in 2 days. Our volunteers went, built this whole playground for their kids, for the battered woman kids to be able to play. We refurbished 3 homes for runaway teenagers. Mm. And we just went in, just refurbished, because these projects were sitting there, but the nonprofits didn't have enough volunteers
to get the manpower.
So we're just saying, hey, what do you do that we can come in and just help you get it over the line?
And we're excited about that. Yes, that's what I'm saying. So let's talk about some dates, because there are some deadlines here, right?
Yes.
So for the nonprofits who are interested in applying to be a benefactor, right, of these funds, the deadline for that is May 30th.
May 30th,
is that correct?
That's correct.
And they will go online, and they can download the application, complete that, submit it. As long as they get it in before May 30th, then they're in that pool of consideration,
correct. We're going to be selecting those nonprofits as when June begins, so it's going to be important for them to complete that, have it done by May 30th, so that we can review all the details and really make a quality decision based on all those different applications.
And for those who are interested in sponsoring with some dollars, right, they have from now until August 9th, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. And what do they need to do in order to be connected?
They can go to the same website, hdweloveyou.com, and fill out the application for partnership. And they can fill that out and let us know how they'd like to partner, whether it's financially, whether they want to mobilize their staff, the employees
volunteers,
to come and volunteer, or even donate. This year we're receiving both clothing and toiletries, hygiene products, feminine products, all of those things. We want to be able to serve those ways.
Wonderful. And then the actual event, right, takes place when?
August 3rd tonight.
Okay.
So it starts on a Sunday when we stuff the bus again with the VVTA buses. So we start on August 3rd. And then August 4th, we're going to be helping nonprofits sort that clothes, because we didn't want to dump all that clothes on the nonprofits and say, you guys deal with it.
Right.
We're saying, hey, we're here to help. And we're going to come alongside with our people to help you sort and do everything. You just tell us what to do, because you know, and we're just hands.
Right.
And then every day of that week, right up until the Saturday, we're going to have different opportunities to serve different nonprofits. And so what we ask our members to do is, hey, take a day off from work to serve one nonprofit that week. And for those organizations that want to partner with us, hey, we just say, hey, which day would you like to serve? And we'll tell you which nonprofit we're serving on that day, or nonprofits, because sometimes we end up with 2 or 3 on one day that we're serving.
Well, Pastor Shea, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make a commitment now that I'm going to come out one of those days, and I'm going to work to serve.
Come on now,
and I'm going to challenge all of those who listen to this show to meet me and do the same. Pick a day, come out, and serve. For me, this is hugely important because I really do believe that when we come together as community and lock arms, I don't have to do what you do. Just let me play my role.
Yeah.
So if it's sorting and putting something in a bag, if it's going to get water for somebody, whatever it is, I'm willing to do that for the greater good, that people will be served, especially with what they need.
Yes.
So I'm making that commitment to you.
Awesome.
Roxanne is going to hold me to it.
Yeah, and I may join in as well. So
come on, Roxanne. Yeah.
All right. But I am also, I'm throwing down the gauntlet. For those who are listening, I want you to join me in coming out, finding a day of the week that you're going to be able to serve, and let's join lock arms in serving our community and making a difference where a difference needs to be made.
Yes.
So I want to thank you both for coming in, sharing today.
Thank you.
I want to thank Life Church for 3 years of doing this and being committed, because it looks like you got at least another 3 in you to do this, right? It's not easy work, but it's necessary work, and that's great work. Right. And so I want to thank you guys for that. And we'll make sure that all of this information we get posted so that people have access to being able to connect with you and being able to serve. And then we're going to invite you back to talk about what the experience has been of having community come together in that way. So thank you so much for what you do.
And then before before we close, the website again for more information.
It's hdweloveyou.com. HD, we love you. www.thehydrasurdialogue.com.
All right.
Thanks again for being a part of the conversation. Reach out to us and let us know what you want to talk about. Send us an email at RoxanneScafidi@edbroadcasters.com. High Desert Dialogue, conversations with Regina and Roxanne. We'll talk to you next weekend.